It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Across the country and around the world.
Enormous amounts of material.
This is TalkZone.com.
It's time for the Race Report.
Get ready. Let's go.
Your full speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
You know, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts, Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwell.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the Race Report.
We'll be coming to the white flag this time.
Carl is smoking.
That's another round. Fenway car.
Blowing up. With one to go, Carl Edwards loses the engine, and the battle is for second in turn one.
And they are side by side. Boyer to the bottom.
I believe Boyer's got
him. Clear him up.
Get up there. Attaboy.
Here comes Kyle Busch. He qualified on the pole. He had to start the race in the back. And Wild Thing is going to win again.
Yeah, baby.
Hometown.
Mike Joy, Larry McReynolds, and DW with a call on Fox of Kyle Busch's win in Las Vegas. Welcome to the Race Report. I'm Steve Parker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
Busch returns to Victory Lane where he spent so much time last season until the chase started. Let's talk some NASCAR on the Race Report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
Kyle Busch has 13 career Sprint Cup Series wins, coming on 13 different tracks. But surely none meant more than his win Sunday at his hometown track, Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Busch passed Clint Boyer for the lead with 16 laps to go, and then survived a couple of late restarts to win the Shelby 427 for his first victory this season. Boyer, Jeff Burton, David Ruderman, and Bobby Labonte were the rest of the top five. Matt Kenseth, who was trying to become the first driver to sweep the first three races to start a season, couldn't have come further from getting that historic win. He ran only six laps before his engine let go. He finished 43rd. In spite of blowing a tire and destroying the left front of his car, Jeff Gordon managed a sixth-place finish, and he takes over the points lead by 18 over Boyer. The series heads this weekend to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Cobalt Tools 500. Green flag scheduled for about 2:15 Eastern time on Fox. Carl Edwards dominated the race last year until blowing up in the closing laps, handing the win to Kyle Busch. Speaking of Edwards, the preseason favorite of many to win the championship, has only one top 10 finish so far this year, has led a total of three laps. Three-time champ Jimmy Johnson sits 19th in the standings. Both have gone to victory lane three times in their careers at Atlanta, so this could be the week to see a return engagement of the Jimmy and Carl show we saw in last season's chase. Sam shaking his head. With two more races to go before guaranteed starting spots will be based on this season's point standings, a few big-name drivers still have to pick it up or be in danger of falling out of that all-important top 35. After his second straight engine failure, Mark Martin has slipped to 34th in the standings. Ryan Newman is 33rd. Much-hyped rookie Joey Logano, 32nd, and Dale Earnhardt Jr., even after a top 10 at Vegas, still sits 29th in points. And Greg Biffle survived a crash-filled Samstown 300 at Las Vegas Saturday to pick up his first nationwide series win since February of 06. The race was slowed by 12 cautions and two red flags. Only 10 cars finished on the lead lap. And those are the racing headlines on the Race Report. Coming up on this edition of the Race Report, Busch has a fast enough car and takes advantage of some brakes to get his first win of 09 and his first ever victory at his hometown track. Clint Boyer credits his crew chief's late race pit call with getting him a second place finish. We'll hear from the top finishers at Vegas. So where are Jimmy and Carl? Not in victory lane yet. Three-time champ, preseason favorite, haven't really been heard from much in the first 3 weeks of the season. Is Dale Earnhardt Jr. the most overrated athlete in the history of sports? Somebody, not just Sam, thinks so. And they are heading to my favorite track and a favorite of many drivers, too. We'll preview the Cobalt Tools 500 coming up at Atlanta. All that and more coming up when we return on the Race Report.
It happens on the track or off. Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Steve Park along with Sam Allen.
It wasn't my turn to talk yet.
You're wrestling with your microphone on the air. My goodness. I'm telling you, we're going to have to find somebody on the street to come in here and do this job.
Well, they would probably be better.
Yeah, we better be careful. We may both be replaced by people off the street soon. But anyway. Wild Thing. Kyle Busch.
Rowdy.
His first win of the season.
Oh, well, let's move on.
You think, you think maybe his last?
No, it's not going to be his last. Love him or hate him, and I say this all the time, the kid is a phenomenally talented driver.
Yeah, no doubt about
that. He's proven it over and over and over again in all three series, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with until they get to the chase, and he might choke again.
You know, did not have the best car, didn't have a winning car, but sometimes the fastest car doesn't win, and he even alludes to that himself. We'll hear from the top finishers of Vegas a little bit later on, but right now it's time to take a look and see where your favorite driver ran in the Shelby 427.
And your winner was Kyle Busch. Second, Clint Bowyer. Third, Jeff Burton. Fourth, David Rudiman. A great run for that team. Fifth, Bobby Labonte. Yeah. Sixth, Jeff Gordon. Seventh, Greg Biffle. Eighth, Brian Vickers. Ninth, Jamie McMurray. Tenth, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Casey Kane was 11th. Kevin Harvick, 12th. Joey Logano, his career best finish in the Sprint Cup Series, 13th. 14th, David Gilliland. Good run for him. 15th, Robbie Gordon. Okay, this is just completely out of control here.
What's going on?
Sam Hornish Jr., 16th. 17th, Carl Edwards, who blew up right at the end of the race. 18th, David Stremme. Regan Smith, 19th. Marcus Ambrose was 20th.
21st, Scott Speed. 22nd, Denny Hamlin. 23rd, Kurt Busch. 24th, Jimmy Johnson. 25th, Ryan Newman. 26th, Tony Stewart. 27th, Michael Waltrip. 28th, John Andretti. Elliott Sadler, 29th. 30th, Casey Mears.
Juan Montoya was 31st. 32nd, Martin Truex Jr. A.J. Allmendinger was 33rd. Reen Sorensen, 34th. 35th, Paul Menard. 36th, Max Pappas. Todd Bodine, 37th. Brad Keselowski, 38th. 39th, Eric Almirola. 40th, second straight week for engine failure, Mark Martin. Joe Nemechek, 41st. 42nd, David Reagan. 43rd, Matt Kenseth. So three of the Roush Fenway cars with engine failures, and Matt Kenseth's came only six laps in to the event. So much for talk about your streak going up in smoke.
You know, I really thought he may have had a legitimate shot at doing that, and given his record at Las Vegas.
Has always been good there.
And on a hot streak coming in there, and then for them to get that car off the truck on Friday and have problems in qualifying, and then, oh, wow.
I just and I mean, I know what happens.
Unbelievable.
I know what happens. It's happened to pretty much all the teams. But, I mean, how does a race team of that caliber, that, of course, builds their own engines and things like that, how do you go out and lose an engine in six laps?
Well, you know, you think back, Tony Stewart in the Daytona 500 didn't make it two laps one year.
I know it's happened before, but I mean, that has to be, I can't even think a bad part should let go after six laps. I always think somebody forgot to tighten something.
Well, I don't remember off the top of my head, did they change motors after qualifying? I don't remember if they did or not.
I don't remember either.
But it comes down to, And somebody asked me, I did an interview this morning on a radio show, asked me if there was a correlation between these engine failures and no testing. And I said, I believe there absolutely is a correlation between the two. Because,
really?
Yeah, I do. And for this reason, they're going into these tracks on a baseline that they had last year using probably a different tire compound. And these tracks change from year to year. And it's so, these are such high RPM tracks that they've been to and such long races.
Right. And they're going to another one this week.
You know, and the way the rear end gears they put in these cars and the different ways they set them up all affect how many RPMs these motors turn. And if they don't have the right setup and they turn too many RPMs or they go out and they run too many practice laps, you know, I believe the testing ban has affected the way they set up these cars.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what has. But I know the problem with Mark Martin and his second straight engine failure, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe his car jumped out of gear, out of fourth gear, and overrev the engine before he could get the clutch in and get that taken care of. And I think that probably was the reason for Mark Martin's engine failure. So, again, but second straight week.
Your top 12 bid for him ain't looking so hot,
well,
is it?
Well, and, you know, I think he probably can. I still believe Mark Martin can run well enough. But again, with mechanical failures, and that's part of it, you got to have luck and you've got to have durability in your parts. So, I mean, it's like we talked about last week. You keep wanting to say it's early. I know we're only three races in, but each week goes by and you haven't dug yourself very far out of that hole. It gets obviously harder and harder to dig out of it. And yeah, he's put himself in a not very good position.
Well, this year has been
not
just
put himself. He's been put in a pretty bad position.
He's in a bad spot.
Yeah.
This season so far, and this all started back in Daytona with the rain shortened Daytona 500, and that put some people in the top 12 that normally would not have been there because of the
Michael Waltrip. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, bless you. So it's just kind of messed up the whole top 12 in my opinion. And here we are three races in, and some guys who you thought would be there have had some trouble. Guys who never ever expected to be there would never be there in the rest of the season are there.
I think the race
is just stunning.
The race at Las Vegas is somewhat of a microcosm of that. Look at your top 10 at Las Vegas. Clint Bowyer, I know Clint Bowyer's made the chase the last couple of years, has won some races, but Clint Bowyer was nowhere. He was nowhere all day.
No.
He wasn't, and he hasn't really been so far this season. He's second in points. Clint Bowyer's become the master of just not finishing 40th.
Yeah,
running
exactly.
Just good enough to let other people have trouble, and he gets in a good points position. Hey, that's part of it. But, you know, David Ruderman, his career best finish of fourth. Now, he did run pretty well all day. Bobby Labonte gets a top five. Haven't seen that for a while. Jeff Gordon finishes sixth with half his car gone. I mean, you know, They tear off the left front fender of that. And, I mean, great job out of them to bounce back from that. But, I mean, it was pit strategy late in the race. But you had a lot of guys in the top 10 in the race that normally aren't going to be there.
Oh, yeah. And there are two guys that I think maybe making a point, and I think Bobby Labonte is one of those guys who's making a point that saying, hey, I didn't forget how to drive.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. But these other guys that are in the top 12, Michael Waltrip.
Now, see, I think David Ruderman's more legitimate than Bobby Labonte at this point.
Well, we'll see. Michael Waltrip will not be in the top 12 when this is all said and done.
All right, stick around. Coming back with more on the Race Report.
If you want NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Steve Parker along with Sam Atwell right here with you each and every week talking NASCAR. And we're talking about the Shelby 427, the race last weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, won by Kyle Busch, his first victory of 2009 after making Victory Lane pretty much his own little playground last year until the chase started.
He
went home and watched cartoons, I think, after that. But after Vegas, point standings, you know, we're talking about these guys that are shockingly still in the top 12 in points. And really, you look at this, Sam, there's only really three guys in here that you just absolutely wouldn't expect to be in here. And you have to wonder if there's any shot of them staying. All the way up there in fifth place right now after three races, David Ruderman gets his first top five last week with a fourth place finish, his career best. But, and that was his only top 10 finish. But again, kind of the Clint Bowyer formula, just don't finish 40th. And now you can be up there because we've had so many other guys with trouble. Of course, Jeff Gordon takes over the points lead. He has a 13th place finish at Daytona, the runner-up finish at California, and then a sixth last week. So he has been the most consistent so far. And not surprisingly, he is the points leader by 18th over the aforementioned Mr. Bowyer. Kenseth slips to third, followed by Greg Biffle. Then there's Ruderman in fifth place. Kyle Busch jumped 12 place. I'm sorry. Yeah, Kyle Busch, Kurt and Kyle right together there. Kyle Busch jumps 12 spots to sixth with his victory. Then his brother's right behind him. Kurt Busch, not in the chase last season, but still, I think, a very capable former champion. So not a shock to see him up there. There's Tony Stewart in eighth. And again, that doesn't surprise me. Carl Edwards in ninth. Bobby Labonte jumps 12 places with his top five at Vegas, and he is now in the top 10 in points. Can he stay there? No, not this season. I still think Bobby Labonte can drive. I just don't think he's with a strong enough team to compete with these other super teams. So I don't think Bobby Labonte can hang in there.
I don't know. I may tend to disagree with you a little bit on that. Just because so far this season, we're not seeing anything that's been expected. And this has been a season without the testing and these other teams having trouble. I think this might be a year when a team like Bobby Labonte, with support from Yates Racing, who knows how to build motors.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Labonte is by far the most talented driver with that alliance.
I hope you're right.
To see it happen because he's one of the good people in NASCAR. I would love to see good things happen for him.
11th place right now, Kevin Harvick. And again, Chase veteran. I wouldn't expect to see him outside the top 12 much this year. And then in 12th place, Michael Waltrip. Now, you know, we kind of have fun at Michael Waltrip's expense quite often because, quite frankly, Michael Waltrip has made much more attention and made a much bigger name for himself off the racetrack over the years. But got to give credit where credit's due. Maybe not necessarily Michael Waltrip, but Michael Waltrip Racing has come a long way.
Yes, they have. Absolutely.
I mean, you also remember David Ruderman drives for them, too, and he's in the top five. This is a team that was just, they couldn't make races. 2 years ago. And, I mean, the jump they made last year, and then, I mean, this is a legitimate team now. I still don't know about Michael Waltrip's ability as a driver. Is he a top 12 chase driver? I still don't think so. He could prove us wrong. But, I mean, you do have to take your hat off to the improvements and it made it Michael Waltrip racing as an organization.
This was an organization that started from scratch.
Sure.
They had nothing. And you know, their first year was a struggle. Doesn't even put quite the word on it that I would use. But they have come great distances. I don't think Michael is the driver that's going to put one of his cars in the top 12, but we'll see.
He may have a driver driving for him. Michael Waltrip may prove to be a much more talented car owner than driver.
Very well, because he's got the personality and he's got the marketability and a lot of those other things. I'm just really surprised at some of the guys who at week three are not in the top 10, and that's the three-time champion. You know, in 19th still after this point. And
how about Carl Edwards? Even though 9th in the standings, we touched on this at the top of the show, only has led only 3 laps so far this season, only 1 top 10 finish.
Yeah, they need to get these ships righted. I mean, it's early on, and you said it earlier. It's, you know, it's only 3 races in, but that hole keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper if you don't get out of it.
You know,
and
thinking back to last season,
it would be scary.
And I know at the time you kind of just blew this off, and it ended up you were right ultimately, because Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson both did make the chase, and they were the drivers that I was focusing on when I made the point. And it wasn't a point I had made, actually. It was something I'd read where somebody had gone back and done the work, and of course I'm not going to do that. I let somebody else do that, and I look it up. But and I can't remember the statistics now. We may be pulling them out here again soon in the next couple of weeks if these guys continue to struggle a bit. But talking about drivers, you always say it's early. But it was statistics going back over the time of the chase back to 2004, and guys that were out of the top 12, you know, even after 4 races, the odds are really against them making the chase. I mean, when you get off to that rough start, it is tough to come back. You dig yourself that hole, and it is really tough to come back from it. And already, Mark Martin finds himself in a points position that nobody's come back from and made the chase since the chase started. Nobody's been this far back after 3 races and made the chase.
That team's biggest concern at this point is getting staying in the top 35 in points so they can be in the races.
Yeah.
And, you know, Junior, his teammate, they work out of the same shop. I don't know what's going on with that team this year. I don't know where his head is at. The mistakes that have happened to that team this year, besides the engine blowing up, are driver errors, and somebody needs to get a hold of that young man. He's not a young man anymore. Somebody needs to get a hold of him and straighten him out.
Maybe pressing just a little bit. He may be trying a little too hard after things not going well down the stretch last year. Stick around. Coming back with much more on the race report. We'll hear from the top finishers at Vegas and more when we return.
On the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the second half of the Race Report. Steve Parker here, Sam Atwell there. Still not ready. Are we going to have to hire an assistant for you to get your equipment on before you come back in here? That's not the way that goes on.
I know it's not.
He has his headphones sideways up around his shoulder.
You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, my gosh, the wires going down his pant leg.
They fell on the floor and broke.
I wish we had a web camera in here right now so people could see.
I need one of the big giant pieces of duct tape that they put on the fenders.
Yeah, you need some 200-mile-an-hour tape. Just one of the big giant strips that they taped Jeff Gordon's car up with.
Yeah, it worked for him.
On Sunday. It did work for him. You know, it was pretty interesting. I read a couple of articles earlier this week, and I think it was TrackSmack on NASCAR.com, which I really enjoy. Check that out as they look ahead to the race weekend. They touch on everything on NASCAR, and it's not really, it's several of the reporters on NASCAR.com just basically throwing out stuff. And sometimes I agree with it, and sometimes I think they're just completely nuts. But they were talking a lot about Jeff Gordon this week, as we have been as well, because it is one of the big stories to follow. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is just in another planet, a whole other realm as far as popularity. But consistently, the second most popular driver has been Jeff Gordon. And they were saying how good it is for the sport that a driver that has such a huge fan base as Jeff Gordon is, you know, once again, looks like a championship contender, a serious championship contender, which he was not last year.
Nope.
Watching the race Sunday, I think, and again, I know luck's part of it, a big part of it, things have to go your way as well. they had the best car again.
Yep.
I think the 24 was the car to beat again. I think maybe Jimmy Johnson, the only one that could stay with him. Kyle Busch did not have anything for the 24. But, you know, pit strategy worked out the way it did. But Gordon, you know, the mistake by his team, I think, listening to the in-car radio they broadcast on TV, Steve Letarte was screaming at him, don't let the 48 pit without you, pit, right now. And it looked like it was a very late call to come to pit road. Jeff locked it up coming off turn four, getting onto pit road, and blew the tire. And, of course, had to drive around with that tire, and it tore the fender off the car. You and I talked about this before the show. Typical scenario last year, maybe in a lot of previous years, Jeff Gordon gets a car torn up like that, especially at a high-speed track like Austin. You can get by with it at Martinsville or Bristol. But at a track like that, done. 36th, 40th, yep. See you later. Come yep. back next week, hope for better. He gets sixth place out of it.
I mean, and the amazing part to me is he started on that restart in 13th and immediately started passing people, which to me was just, I was just like, he's going to go straight backwards.
They have figured out that new car.
Yes, they have.
They have figured out that new car. And I think the front downforce is more dependent on the splitter remaining intact. Jeff's splitter was still fine. Just torched the top of the fender off, and they were able to put a piece up there and tape it down. There was still a huge hole, but I think they were able to repair that enough that the splitter was still fine, and I think that's where they're picking up most of their front downforce, and the car wasn't quite as good as it was before that, but still good enough. They salvaged a sixth-place finish.
Absolutely.
And somebody, I can't remember which reporter, but one of the guys on NASCAR.com said, he said, Jeff has that look in his eyes, and he said, the 24 team, he says, I don't know what it is, they just have a championship look to them
yep.
this year.
Yep.
And so that's your pick. We'll see.
We talked about that last week. I said it's the eye of the tiger to turn a phrase. But mm-hmm. but if you're a competitor, look out.
Yeah. Well, he did not get the win. He finished sixth. Kyle Busch breaks back into the victory column after, of course, struggling down the stretch last year in the chase after dominating the first 26 race portion of the season last year. But he gets back to victory lane. But he'll even admit that may not have had the best car. He did catch some breaks as other folks had trouble.
You got to watch the race play out, and you got to watch what's happening, what's going on. And when that caution came and caught all those guys on pit road, it completely changed the complexion of the race. And so then once that happened, you know, we knew that we were in a position to have a good day, to have a better day. And those guys restarted up in front of us a little bit there. And, you know, they got back on the lead lap, but then they were going to be behind us when we came down pit road for the last stop anyway. So it worked out somehow.
It did work out for them. And Jimmy Johnson, one of the guys, caught a lap down when, ironically, his teammate, Jeff Gordon, brought out that caution when he had that tire go. Tony Stewart was also trapped. He had just made a green flag pit stop. He was another good car that potentially could have been in contention there, certainly if not for a win, a top five finish. But, you know, again, brakes are part of it.
That's
Things
it.
Have to go your way, and they went Kyle Busch's way on Sunday. And they also went Clint Bowyer's way, and he credits his crew chief, Shane Wilson, with the call that got him a runner-up finish.
You know, to overcome everything we overcome, went a lap down, got real loose early, and went a lap down, got that back, got run into on a restart, 15 wide or whatever we were, and fixed that, got going back again, and you know, Shane Wilson made a good call. You know, gotta hand it off to Shane. I mean, that's where he shines. He studies his pit strategy and works hard on it. And, you know, I really felt like that was going to be an area that I could improve on. So, proud of him, proud of his call, and glad it worked out.
Worked out for them. They stayed out on lap 258 when many of the other leaders pitted. The 33 stayed on the racetrack, and Clint Bowyer made that payoff with a second-place finish. His teammate, Jeff Burton, gets a third-place run at Las Vegas. Let's hear from him.
We had a good day. We, you know, kind of after last week, that felt like a win. You know, got lapped three times last week and finished third this week and led a bunch of laps. So I'm not real sure how we do that, but we did it. And, you know, our struggle has been, you know, being able to go on new tires. We were pretty good on old tires, had struggle on new tires. So that continues to be our problem. But, you know, I'm real proud of what we were able to do today. Obviously, Clint and I had a good race there at the end, racing for a second. And, you know, racing for the win, but it was a good day. We'll after last week, we'll celebrate.
All right, Jeff Burton coming off a poor finish at California. He and teammate Clint Bowyer finished second and third, so a good run for the Richard Childress guys. When we come back, we'll hear from one more driver who finished in the top five, and talking about surprise, David Ruderman. His career best finish, fourth place. We'll hear from him, and of course, we'll still look ahead to Atlanta Motor Speedway. And is Dale Earnhardt Jr. the most overrated athlete ever in sports? Talk about that when we come back on the Race Report.
almost smell the hot oil and burnt rubber through the radio. Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the race report.
Indeed you have, and now that you've found it, write it down. Tell all your friends. Be here. The same time, same place, each and every week. We're talking NASCAR on the Race Report. And, of course, check out racereportradio.com. You got yourself in some hot water this week, mister. Yes.
I did not. I just stated my opinion.
And Kyle Busch is a drunk loser. Engineer Paul Knauer, those were his exact words. Yes, Paul's nodding his head. Exactly. Kyle Busch, drunk out in public.
All I said.
Half naked. Just
basically.
Showgirl under each arm.
Kyle Busch went out to celebrate his big victory in his hometown, and he went to the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. Some pictures were taken by a celebrity website, gossip website.
Mm-hmm.
Showed Kyle on it up on a table spraying champagne on people, and in one he was high-fiving a guy with a bottle in his hand. And my point in my blog was probably not a real good PR move for Kyle Busch. For any driver, I don't care if it was Kyle Busch, I don't care who it was, out in public, spraying champagne, holding an open bottle, I said, it might not be the image your sponsor wants. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the image Joe Gibbs is going to support, and probably not the image of all the little kids running around with M&M gear on. That was my main point. Go ahead and have your party. You deserved it. It's a big win. Do it in private, out of the way of the public cameras. Have a good time, but I just thought it was a bad image for Kyle Busch to put out there.
And a couple of people strongly disagreed with your opinion.
Yeah, more than a couple. Apparently, I'm just a big, fat, dumb idiot.
Well, it...
So there.
Anyway, if you want to check out Sam's blog on Kyle Busch or anything else, be sure and check out racereportradio.com. And not just a chance to go after Sam, which, hey, I'm all for that. But get on there.
Bring it on. Get
all the NASCAR news, and we'll keep you on top of everything there at racereportradio.com. But certainly jump into the fan forums. Do love to hear from you. Real quick, wanted to hear from David Rudiman. Career best finish at Las Vegas, a fourth place. And he talks about the turnaround, not really turnaround, but just the rapid improvement over the last couple of years of Michael Waltrip Racing.
It's hard to tell. I mean, you know, anything can happen. You know, a flat tire during a race relegates you back in the running order or whatever. You know, it's so early in the season right now that points positions switch back and forth. You know, you need to get into the season a little bit farther. But with that being said, definitely our organization is much stronger. Our cars, again, continue to get better. They've got better during the offseason. My crew chief, Rodney Childers, is doing a phenomenal job, and all my key group guys are still together. So overall, our organization is doing, I think, a good job. You know, we still got a lot of races to go, so time will tell, I guess.
Time will tell, but definitely the improvement where that team has come from, as you mentioned, Sam, from nothing. I mean, completely start up. And again, maybe Michael Waltrip is going to prove to be a much, much better car owner than he has been a driver over the years. All right. Talk about, pardon me, getting maybe not agreeing with something that somebody wrote in public. Mike Bianchi in the Orlando, Florida Sentinel wrote this earlier in the week, I guess late last week. The first line of this, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is the most overrated athlete in the history of sports. Again, not my words, quoting Mike Bianchi of the Orlando
Sentinel.
Oh, you
don't want to take the heat.
No, because actually I'm going to leap, mind you, to Jr.'s defense here. But here's what he wrote. More overrated than Joe Namath, great athletes traditionally become popular because of their own success, not their father's success.
Ouch.
Until Earnhardt Jr., there has never been such an immensely popular sports personality who has been so pedestrian in the athletic arena. Usually the most popular figures in a sport, also the most successful. See Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. But Jr. isn't even close to being the best driver in the circuit. He might not even be in the top 10. Thoughts?
Go ahead and jump to his defense.
Dale Earnhardt, this is something I probably would have agreed with 2 or 3 years ago. And I think I might have said close to the same thing. I know I said it in an interview I did, I think, 2 years ago, that I called Junior the most overrated athlete in the history of sports. I don't think
I don't think you said sports. I think you said NASCAR.
No, I think I said sports. But I think it might have been 3 years ago, because at that time, Junior was just as ridiculously popular as he is now. I mean, he pretty much has been since the day he set foot on the circuit. And face it, a lot of that was because of his father. But I think since then, and although he has struggled, we know about what's happened at DEI the last year or two he was there. Things were not going well. I don't think he wanted to be there. But last year, put together a very successful, consistent first part of the season and returned to the chase, which was certainly a goal. things didn't go well for them in the chase, but my gosh, look at how things went for Kyle Busch after the first part of the season he had. So, I mean, things can kind of turn around on you, and bad luck happens. I think this is a big year for him. Touched on it earlier. I think Dale Earnhardt Jr., mistakes he has made on pit road so far this season, I think he may be pressing a little bit. I think maybe he is putting a little more pressure on himself than he has in the past. But I think Jr. at this point has shown us maybe he's not at the level of Jimmy Johnson, certainly. Maybe what Carl Edwards has shown us, Jeff Gordon, a four-time champ, Tony Stewart. But I don't think he, I think he falls into the next tier. I still think Jr. is a driver with a team capable of winning a championship. I think he's certainly among the top 10 in the sport. I don't feel he's as
top 10 all time?
No. Currently,
okay.
Currently.
Because we were going to butt heads on that one.
No, not all time. Currently. And I think, I don't think he's as overrated. I think he has earned a little more in the last couple of years than he has. I think he's much more focused. I think he really wants to win a championship. I don't know that that was the case a couple, 3 years ago. So I think, and as you see more and more of Junior and his easygoing demeanor, he really never seems to get too bent out of shape about anything. I think his popularity, the reason for his popularity becomes more apparent every time I see him. And I don't think he falls into the realm of most overrated athlete in sports ever anymore. I think he's earned more of that respect now. I know he hasn't won a championship, came kind of close a couple of years ago, but a mistake he made really cost him there. But I think this is a guy that will. I think he'll make the chase this year, and I think he is capable of contending for a championship now. I really do.
I still think he's overrated. I do.
I don't know
because he's been in this sport.
I don't know that with what Jimmy Johnson's done, Jimmy Johnson could warrant the attention and the adulation Dale Earnhardt Jr.
No,
has,
I mean,
but
you know, you brought up the article. He's talking about popularity, and the writer of that article is dead on. The most popular personality in most of those sports are the big time winners.
Okay.
Junior is not a big time winner.
It's the music.
Junior has never lived up to the hype that he was supposed to be the next seven-time champion or whatever. He's not done that. It's time for him to put up or shut up.
Well, I don't know that I disagree with that. I think it is that time, and I think he would probably agree with it as well, and I think he's determined to put up, and maybe he's trying a little too hard this year, and that may be why we've seen some mistakes, uncharacteristic mistakes out of him so far this season. Stick around. Coming back and wrapping up the race report after this.
If you want NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
I feel bad now. You kind of got ripped on your blog. For your
bring it on.
Kinda, now producer Paul and I are kind of picking on you in here. So I'm just going to be nice to you the rest of the day.
Just because you're a junior homer.
Junior's the greatest ever.
I didn't say that. But at any rate, of course, they're heading to Atlanta Motor Speedway this week.
Ooh, this is going to be fun.
Favorite track.
It's going to be fun.
It is, I think, the best one because, man, they can run high, they can run low, all over that place, and it is the fastest track. They hit some of the top speeds there because no restrictor plates, and don't even think about it.
But, don't even say that.
I know. They talked about it a couple of years ago, maybe putting plates
that's
on
wrong.
For Atlanta. The corners there are not nearly as tight, even though the track, just to look at it, first glance, looks like Lowe's Motor Speedway and Texas Motor Speedway with that quad oval, that dogleg front stretch, the corner radius not nearly as tight as at Atlanta. They don't lift in qualifying there.
No, it's wide open.
It's wide open all the way around because they can carry that speed through the corners. They're a little more so than they can at the much tighter Texas or Lowe's Motor Speedways.
And some great finishes at this track.
Yeah, man.
Some
of the best ever. All right, first of all, first order of business is checking out the race weekend weather forecast. And with that, here's our race report meteorologist, Dan Holliday.
Hey, Steve and Sam. A ridge of high pressure is rather persistent over the Gulf of Mexico, and that will be influencing the weather in Atlanta this weekend. At this time, we expect it to be dry with a warm southerly flow of air. At the green flag in Atlanta, sunny, 70 degrees on Sunday. The wind could be an issue. It'll be southwesterly around 15 miles per hour. Watch live storm chasing this season at thestormreport.com and listen as we're chasing the cup on the Race Report. I'm meteorologist Dan Holliday.
You know, Dan does that storm chasing, too. He's nuts.
If you have nothing to do one night and you hear some storm somewhere in the country, tune in and watch those storm chasers. You think racers are nuts. Those storm chasing people are crazy.
Dan does that. He's a crazy man. He's just out of his mind.
Well, that explains the look in his eye.
Anyway, appreciate Dan bringing us that forecast each and every week. As I mentioned, Atlanta is one of my favorite tracks. It's a favorite of a lot of the drivers. Casey Kane was talking about it earlier this week. Somebody asked him why do the drivers like it, and he just said, basically racing room. He said, because you can, as we mentioned, you can go all over that track. You can race high, you can race low.
Five wide, maybe.
If you can keep it hugged to the bottom of the bottom of the track there along the white line, that's obviously the fastest way around. But if you can carry speed and stick up close to the wall, keep that momentum, keep her wound up, as Darrell Walter was fond of saying, you know, you can make some hay there, too. So this is a great racetrack. The racing's always good, and as Sam mentioned, quite often some of the best finishes you're going to see all season long. We've had some good ones. Think back to Dale Earnhardt and Bobby Labonte in 2000. The following year, Jeff Gordon and Kevin Harvick. Harvick gets his first career win, of course, just a couple of weeks after we lost Dale Earnhardt, so that was very memorable. Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards. Edwards getting his first career win back in 05. Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson struggling a bit so far this season, as we touched on, but Carl Edwards in 9 career starts at Atlanta, 5 top 5 finishes, 3 wins. He has done very well at that track. So, on that, Carl Edwards is not my pick. I haven't picked him to win a race yet. And I'm going to.
Jeff Gordon.
I think that team is really on a roll. This is probably the week they'll have trouble and they'll finish 40th. But
I'm going to go way, 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 way out on a limb. I'm going to pick the driver with the most wins as an active driver at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Bobby Labonte.
He knows
how to race there.
Yeah, he definitely does that. I remember a couple of years ago with Petty, he had a good run going, then blowed up. At any rate, we will be back to wrap it up with you next week on the Race Report, so be sure and join us again right here, and check us out, racereportradio.com. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Good job, guys. Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.